I don't know. And for those that are more studious among you, we'll be reading from Genesis chapter 29 in a moment. Verse 28. Okay, as you're aware from I'll pray before we begin. Father God, I just ask for your blessing, Lord, and your guidance in this talk. It's sensitive at times, Lord God, to show people the love of God can be given to us through your Son Jesus. And just help us, Lord, to realize that you have such a love for people, Lord God, and you want us, Lord God, to receive that love and to love you and to love others. Ask you, Lord, to put this cross in a spirit-guided way, in Jesus' name. Not one of my favourite topics, by the way, love, just so you know that. But we will be speaking a wee bit on tonight. Okay, so at the start I showed the wee clip from Mrs. Doubtfire, and in my house, like I've said to you before, my kids have me tied to DVD nights. And so we got this film out on the Sky, Mrs. Doubtfire. And I was doubtful of wanting to watch it, to be honest with you. But my kids were insistent, let's get it. So we got it, and I was absolutely amazed, taken back by the film. But the woman dressed as a man, like it's in the middle there, is man dressed as a woman, is Robin Williams. And he is part of the family. That is the shot of the family. And what had happened is, Robin Williams was a bit of a joker, a carry-on kind of guy. He was a voice actor in the film. He was very funny. And his wife was really serious. And she was an architect or designer. But basically, she had enough of his pranks. The prank that broke the camel's back was, or the straw that broke the camel's back was whenever she came home one day from school or from work and found him fooling around with the kids at a birthday party. And there were animals walking around the house and all sorts. And she just flipped. And that led to him being expelled from the house, court case for the divorce proceedings, and he lost custody of his children. That sort of sets the whole movie. And to try and win back time with his children, he became a woman, dressed up as a woman, so that he could become a nanny. Mrs. Doubtfire, he called himself, and he went to look after his kids during the time when his wife was at work. And I thought it was really interesting concept to try and spend time with your kids, because most people when they break up from families have this kind of trauma, but kids are involved, and it's trying to spend the time with each parent, getting time with the children. Like, he solved it quite cleverly. This is a crazy situation, and it is probably one of the most dysfunctional families that I've ever witnessed on TV when it comes to the antics that they got up to and the extent that he went to try and put his family back together. He was trying to fix the family that was on the rocks or that was broken. He wanted to spend time with his kids and time with his wife. So tonight I'm looking at probably one of the most dysfunctional families in the Old Testament. And believe it or not, from this family comes the whole of Israel and the blessing that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. So we're going to read from Genesis 29, verses 28 to 35. Then Jacob, so just a wee bit of background. So this is Jacob, who we looked at, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had went away to the foreign country. Had then agreed to marry two women, believe it or not, of his uncles. I'll fill you in a wee bit more once we read the passage. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and so he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called him Reuben, for she said, "The Lord is surely looking on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son, and she said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. The reason I've only read those first couple of verses is this is Jacob whenever he is being blessed with the 12 sons that would eventually become the 12 tribes of Israel. And when we think back to how God has promised a blessing to Abraham, Isaac, and now to Jacob, and we think about the wonderful blessing that's been given, when we look at the way that this family is about to begin, you would think that God's got it completely wrong, or a dysfunctional family is just the way things are meant to be. Over the last few months, we have seen that there has been problems in the family line. We've had rivalry between siblings before Jacob and Esau came along. We've seen fighting. We've seen Jacob fleeing for his life, because Esau wasn't happy that he stole his blessing. And the family that I'm talking about tonight is continuing on in Jacob. In last week's talk, I spoke about the dream that he had regarding Jacob's ladder. And in Jacob's ladder, I said that God had confirmed to him that God would bless him, and bless him through the covenant that he had given to Abraham, and that would be continued. He said that he would bless him, and he'd be a blessing upon the earth. It would spread across the face of the earth, and through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And then I was thinking about my talk last week, and thinking that's a wonderful promise and blessing to give. And then I started looking at this family we're going to look at, and I thought, you know what? This is completely bonkers. This is a dysfunctional family that we're looking at, or we're going to look at tonight. Now, just before we start looking at them, I want to give you this terminology. A dysfunctional family is one where an improper and immature behavior of at least one parent damages the growth of individual and healthy relation skills among other family members. A dysfunctional family is one where family members are impaired emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. And a dysfunctional family is one where everyone is negatively affected, even when one family member experiences a problem. When I was thinking about dysfunctional families, I thought maybe it's because, you know, the boys are bad. You know, you've got a family and there's a couple of bad lads in it, or one bad boy or one bad girl, and they're bad and they get shipped off. And so that's a dysfunctional family because the kids are misbehaving. Or I thought maybe a dysfunctional family was one where they adopted children in, and the adopted children were maybe a bit naughty, a bit bad, and so that made the family dysfunctional. But when I started doing a wee bit of research into this and trying to understand it, I realised that children are not the cause at all of a dysfunctional family. It's nothing to do with their real behaviour. A dysfunctional family is to do with how the parents act in that marriage or that family to begin with. And if one of those parents flees the nest, abuses the other member of the family, the mother or the father, that person then has a negative effect, not just on them, but on the children. And then the family unit begins to break down. That would be the causes, and one of the causes for a dysfunctional family. So when I was growing up, and just since you think I'm all perfect family, so sadly, when I was growing up, I came from everything but was not a normal family. My father left me at a very early age. I was, he left twice. I think it was the first time I was two, and the second time I was about four or five. So he left, and my mother couldn't cope with this, or me and my sister, so that led her to all sorts of problems. And so you can see the dysfunctional family beginning at a very, very early age. The mother's affected, the kids begin to be affected, everything starts to go wrong, and this continues on and on. It has many negative effects on the children, and of course on the parent that's left behind. And often the problems, the issues, are not picked up until school age, sometimes later school age, and by that time, many deem it as being too late to fix. So to bring us up to date with my story so far in Jacob, he has left, advised by his dad to go to be with Laban, his uncle, where he would meet two girls. The first girl he laid his eyes on was Rachel, and he wanted to marry Rachel, but he was tricked by his uncle, and he had to marry the elder first, who was Leah, and he had to work 7 hard years to marry this girl. And then after that, he was allowed to marry Rachel, but he had to do another 7 years of, I'm shortcutting everything by the way here for you, another 7 years of hard labour until he eventually got to marry Rachel. And when he married Rachel, the time came for him to have children. And he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. But we're told that he loved Rachel, but that the Lord closed up her womb. For he saw that Leah was unloved. And this is the crux of the problem that we're going to look at this family tonight. He loved one above the other. And the Lord closed up Rachel's womb, just like Sarah's and just like Rebecca's. This is crazy, crazy stuff, but I'm very quickly going to put up a slide here to show you the 12 tribes. And I'm not going to labor any of this, but I just want to highlight this family. So Leah had four sons, who were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Rachel had two sons, Dan and Naphtali. Leah's servant had two sons, Gad and Asher. Leah had two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun. And then Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph and Benjamin were the only two sons that actually came from Rachel's body. The other two came via her servant, as did two of the children that came from Leah via her servant or maidservant. But I'm going to get into this now a wee bit to give you an idea of what was happening here. All the children born were 12 boys and one girl. A competition had started from the moment this began to happen. And declarations were given each time a child was born. And I read purposely the first four children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, because I'm going to tie that back in a wee minute. Because in those four, you're going to see where the heart lie and what was going on with Leah. But very quickly, I want to give you a summary on these names, because it's very interesting. If you look at the name Reuben, it means seeing. God had seen the affliction, and my husband will now love me. That was Leah's declaration. Then you see Simeon, hearing, means hearing. The Lord has heard that I am unloved. So now you're starting to see how Leah's feeling. Then you get Levi. Levi means joined. And she declared, my husband will become attached to me and love me. Each time she's having a child here, she's thinking that her husband is going to somehow love her more. And this is going to bring them closer together. And then she has the fourth child, who is Judah, which means praise. And Judah's, of course, a very important tribe for another talk. But those first four children, the first three of them, show how she's feeling in the terms of love. And then we have the children that follow on, but I'll just give you the meanings so we can tie this through. Dan means God as judge. Naphtali means wrestling with God. Gad means a troop. Asher means blessed. Issachar means wages. And Zebulun means dwelling with my husband. Joseph means the Lord will add a son. And Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Each child's name has a specific meaning. And you can look into that sometime yourself. But in each declaration, we have seen something of God and something that's been accomplished through each birth and how special each birth is. And in some cases, it can be a victory cry. However, and as I said, this family is a mixed up family, because in the weeks to come, I'm sure we're going to see the story of Joseph, where this lot here decided they're going to kill him. That's the kind of crazy family that we have. But if we extract the words that I've looked at regarding their names, you will see something pretty amazing. Seeing, hearing, joining, praising, judging, wrestling, blessing, and dwelling are the main names that I've sort of gleaned out of the meanings. Each refers to something that God has done or something that God will do. We should be taking real encouragement tonight from this dysfunctional family when we see the attributes of God so clearly shown tonight in a family that is quite at odds with itself. In each we see God sees and hears the difficulties and the problems that are arising between Leah and Rachel. They are having a tit for tat. You have a child, I'll have a child. You have a child, I'll have a child. And then of course we have the issues that were coming from it. But if we look again at what Leah said in our reading, we will see something that she yearned for above all. In the naming of her first three children, she simply wanted her husband to love her. How powerful is that? That is all that she wanted. She wanted her husband to love her. She wanted love above all, and she believed that giving children would somehow make her love him. How sad is this, really? She felt unloved. She felt unwanted. She wanted to be joined. She wanted to be attached to her husband. She really believed that the children would bring the husband into a loving relationship once more with her. This happens so often across the world, where you see an unhappy couple who decide to have a child because they think the child will bring happiness and bring them together. It will be something they'll share in. More often than not, the child brings greater difficulties in the relationship and they fall apart. As believers tonight, we all live in so-called perfect families. We all have mums and dads, sisters and brothers. But like the children of Israel that I've tried to highlight, we have issues, some more severe than others. We all have, in a sense, dysfunctional families. I'm from a dysfunctional family. Tali's from a dysfunctional family. There could probably be a few more in here that's from dysfunctional families. Where love and compassion, maybe we're not the highest thing on the lists. But as believers tonight, we have been adopted into a family that can never be dysfunctional. Where love and compassion reign. We are adopted as believers into a family which is so fantastic that will reign forever and ever. What am I saying? Jesus said this about the family. Everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or fields for my name's sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. What is Jesus saying about the family? That it's no good and you should just disregard them and you could just forget you're anything about them but just follow Jesus? No, he's not saying that. But what he is saying is that you've got to put Jesus first. He's got to be number one in your life, above your wife, above your children. How hard is that to take on board? To think that you could put Jesus before your family. And for many, family are number one, most important thing. What Jesus is saying tonight is he is number one, and that he is the most important thing. The thing about Jesus is he will never let you down. He will never throw mud in your face. He isn't going to cast you away. He's not going to call you names. He's not going to throw you out of the house. He's not going to walk the other way to you. Jesus is the perfect family member that we have as believers. He's telling us to choose him because choosing him is the right thing to do. Sounds harsh. When we are accepted by Jesus into a family, we become adopted children and we have the rights and the joint heir with Jesus. We're into a perfect family. So that means, and this is really going to be really hard to get your head around, that means that me and Nolan are a perfect family. On this earth, we get along and we live our lives, but we have a family, we are in a perfect family to come. Tonight you might be sitting here like thinking and hearing all of this, thinking to yourself, I'm from a broken family. Or I'm from a separated family. Or I have a husband or a wife that left me. Maybe tonight you're thinking, I wish Mrs. Doubtfire would come back into my life, fix all my problems, and bring my family back together. Like the closing lines in the clip of the DVD from Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams said, it doesn't matter what the makeup of the family is, who is in it or who isn't in it. The one thing that matters is love. And how it is shown and received. And love is the tie that ties all things together. And when you think of it that way, it doesn't matter who is really in your family. If everybody in that family works, loves each other, serves each other, you know, and will do anything for each other, then that is a family as good as a unit that you could ever want. And it doesn't matter if it consists of a mom and four sisters and two boys. It doesn't matter if it consists of one single dad and three boys. It doesn't matter what the makeup is. It doesn't matter if it's an adopted family. As long as there is love received and given, then that is the tie for all. I can tell you tonight that this real love and compassion that I'm trying to put forward tonight is found in Jesus, and that he alone shows you the love beyond measure. Jesus wants to have that relationship with you. He desires to have you in this family, but you have to have the desire to want to be in this family. I am in it, and Billy's in it, and Linda's in it, and Taddy's in it. Many of us are in that family. We are not perfect, far from it, but we will one day be joined together in eternal life. Taddy spoke about this morning being caught up in the clouds, being made perfect in that new body, and we will be an eternal, perfect family in God's presence. That, for me, is the utopia. It is the dream. It is everything that I'm living this life for. In this family, there will never be any breakups. There will be no brokenness, no abuse. There will be no violence, no pain, and no sadness. There will be no arguments or quarrels. But there will be perfect love, perfect peace, and this will last for all eternity. Am I mad to believe in the perfect family? Well, I'm not mad to believe in God's perfect family. Let's pray. Father God, tonight I just thank you for what you've done for me, for every member sitting here who has put their trust in me. That although many of us, Lord,